The subject of our talk is, what is self-realization? This is a very big question that has repercussions on all levels of our existence and cuts across every aspect of our life, from the most mundane to the most spiritual. Self-realization implies understanding who we are. It means understanding what is the self, and understanding at the deepest level the ultimate question, who am I? It is about the search for self-identity, but also the recognition of the deeper identity of our true self that goes beyond outer limitations and appearances. Now, today, there's a lot of talk about self-empowerment, self-realization, and related ways of either improving our self-esteem, improving our mental power, making us better liked, giving us better health, giving us better happiness, giving us a sense of self that makes us feel fulfilled, and that may be honored or recognized by others. So the question then arises is, which self are we seeking to realize? Our sense of self has many different layers. And what is ultimately our true self behind all these appearances? Because we have various posturings of ourself, appearances of ourself. We are trying to get people to look at us in one way or another, to recognize us, to love us, to honor us, to pay us, and so forth. This is a sense of self, but is highly outward in nature. Essentially, going back to the yogic and Vedic wisdom, we have three basic levels of self-identity. The first is the physical self, or the I am the body idea. It is the self that is identified with the physical body, that thinks that I am the arms and legs, the eyes and ears, the head, the different body parts, internal organs, sense organs, motor organs, sexual identity, biological identity, that my happiness occurs at a physical level, getting the best quality food, beverages, activity, recognition, clothes, being beautiful, looking well in the mirror, and all of that. We are all connected to this sense of physical self, and it is very important and necessary because we need to survive biologically. We need to maintain health. We need to survive in the social world in which we must encounter and interact with people with our physical body. Our physical body is our main instrument in this outer material world and physical life. But is our true identity? Maybe not, because we can all look within and we can see this physical self as a set of instruments and organs. Hands and feet, eyes and ears, again, instruments and organs. We can live without one of them or the other at times. We may be impaired in some way, but we don't cease to be a whole person. And this physical life is bound by birth and death. We have an intimation of immortality. And we also look upon the body as an instrument, not as who we really are, as a tool. We can move our hands and feet in various ways. We can maintain who we are even when our physical organs are not in motion. So the physical body is not our true self. Then we have the mental or psychological self, emotional, thought-based, to some extent sensory-based, based mainly on our memories and on our mental capacities. And of course, we have this issue of psychological identity, relative to the parents, our siblings, relative to our friends, relative to society, relative to our job, and also the whole business of psychology, which is concerned with defining that psychological self and trying to make it happier. But the mind, like the body, is also an instrument. It is not who we really are. Just as the computer has these functions, so we have functions like memory, computing, language, word processing, names, forms, identities, classifications, categorizations. Mind is an instrument connected to the physical body, but also connected to a higher consciousness. Psychological self is quite vulnerable, changing, up and down, has its also diseases and imbalances, just as the body does. And we all have a sense that deep within us there is a higher eternal or immortal self beyond the body and mind, for which the body and mind are means of expression, but not who we really are. So the body is always changing, mind is always changing, even quicker than the body, and yet we have a certain continuity of self-identity. Vedanta teaches that is our true self of pure consciousness, beyond body and mind. Pure consciousness, pure light, the state of the seer, the witness, unbounded awareness. This is our true self, a self that is embodied in the body and mind, but by nature transcends the body and mind, and ultimately has many body and minds in different incarnations as it is seeking self-realization or its union with the divine. So in the yogic system, self-realization is this realization of the divine, the infinite and eternal within us. When Paramahansa Yogananda, for example, set up his self-realization fellowship, he wasn't talking about making the body more beautiful or the mind more calculating or having a better memory. He was talking about this realization of the divine self that extends us into the universal and the transcendent. So to realize this true self, we have to negate the outer self, physical and psychological self, which are essentially the aspects of the separative ego. Ego is a referred self. I am this. This is mine. It is not the I am that I am or the pure self in itself. It is an outer identity that confuses subject and object, self and other, and gets us caught in various changing outer identities relative to our physical state, our job, our age, our sex, our size, all the rest of it, or even other characteristics, our job, our political view, our religious identity, where we live, and all the rest of it, which are changing. Negating the psychological self means letting go of the burden of memories, going beyond the dualities of emotions, love and hate, attraction and repulsion, like and dislike, and even beyond the dualistic concepts of the mind, all of its calculations and quantities, to the pure presence of awareness. So we need to embrace the universal self as our true nature. To do that, we have to let go of our identification with the body and mind. We still respect the body and mind as a temple of the divinity. We respect them as instruments of our life expression, and we treat them as a divine gift, but we no longer think, I am my body, I am my mind. In fact, we realize I am the witness of the body, I am the witness of the mind, and my self-awareness is unbroken and unbounded. It pervades waking, dream, deep sleep, birth, and death. This self in yoga and Vedanta is called the Purusha, or the cosmic self, the self that contains the entire universe within it. And this is the inmost self in the heart, the pure I, the I that I am, the I, the aham, aham, which is the pure I everywhere, the self-aware universe, the self-awareness in all beings, the boundless self-awareness that is one with light and space. It is also called Atman or Paramatman, the supreme self that is the ultimate self in all beings, in which we can see all beings within ourselves and ourself in all beings. Unitary consciousness, the Nirvikalpa or highest samadhi of the Yoga Sutras, where we return to that nature of the seer in which everything is manifest as an expression of consciousness and a vision of the same inner self through a variety of bodies and minds and various different worlds. To discover that true self, to gain true self-realization, requires the practice of self-inquiry, asking the question, who am I? Tracing the root of the self behind our thoughts, behind our breath, behind our speech. This is the teaching also of Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi, who taught it very clearly and directly, and the teaching of the Advaita or non-dualistic Vedanta. Self-knowledge is the highest knowledge. It is the only knowledge knowing which everything is known. Not all information, but all existence, all presence, all being. We are that supreme existence. Our nature extends from body and mind into the highest consciousness within, behind, and beyond the universe as a whole. So to understand ourselves, to know what is self-realization, we must learn how to turn within, turn the mind within, look deep inside of ourselves, go beyond our thoughts, go to the core of the spiritual heart, embrace the entire universe within us, and also recognize our true nature that is one with all existence. So when we speak of self-realization, in the yogic and Vedantic sense, it is something very vast, profound, much more than any psychological or mental empowerment or success in the material world. It is the ultimate realization in which we become one with the supreme reality of Satchitananda, being, consciousness, bliss. May you pursue that inner self. May you follow the path of self-realization. May you understand what self-realization means and become one with that self within you. This is Dr. David Frawley. I have been on this path of self-realization for many decades through the Vedantic yogic teaching, Ramana Maharshi's teaching, and I am sharing some of my thoughts and concerns with you. I hope these resonate with the core of your being and help you awaken to your true purpose in human existence, which is to develop self-knowledge leading to self-realization of the Supreme Self, which is the ultimate being, the ground of existence, the true self of all. Hari Om Tat Sat.